Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Welcome, Pastor Ron here, my lovely wife, Lynette.
We are so happy to be with you on this Easter morning, Easter evening, whenever you're listening to us. Happy Easter. He is risen indeed. And we just want to say that even though things look a little different this year for most of us, we're believing in the risen Savior of the world. And Ron's got a great word on his heart. We've been praying into it for many days now and really believing that God's going to give you encouragement, hope, and this is your season to, just like our Lord and Savior, to rise up. So thanks for joining us today.
Let's have a brief word of prayer before you. Lord, we thank you for every person tuning in right now. We thank you that you know them. You know everything about them. And we pray a visitation of your Spirit in their hearts, in their homes, in their lives. And Lord, we thank you that you're raising us up in new dimensions to make everything new, like has never been experienced. Mm-hmm. Bless this moment in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the first thing I'd like to say is, who could have ever predicted that we would be in this situation at this time, meeting together virtually all over our tri-state region, and coming into this point where we just are facing so many different dynamics, so many different emotions. We are experiencing loss of life all around us, and that's just been breaking our hearts. We've been experiencing loss of jobs, loss of income, loss of being able to connect together, so many losses. And yet, wouldn't this be the moment where Easter is more relevant than ever? I mean, to tell you that this story that transcends everything is so powerful in this moment. Jesus, before his passion, forewarned his disciples explicitly and in detail what would happen. He said in Matthew 20, 17 and 19, that he said, "We're going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man's going to be betrayed by the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They're going to condemn him. They're going to turn him over to the Gentiles, where he's going to be mocked, scourged, flogged, and crucified. Then on the third day, he will come back to life." Matthew 26, 1 to 2, immediately before the plot was made against him by the religious leaders, he told them, he said, "You know the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." He specifically, and oh my goodness, how could they even comprehend any of that? How could they, even fathom what would happen? This untouchable, unimaginable, incredible Savior and Messiah was in their midst. And then he began to tell them what was going to happen in the negative. They could not even comprehend what would happen. But isn't it comforting to know that nothing is a surprise to God? Nothing was even being shaken by God. Is not shaken to anything that's going on. Not even this coronavirus, not even all the intense losses that we just mentioned. And in this season, in this very day, as nothing's a surprise to God, let me say these words. There's a declaration that conquers all of our expectations, all of our fears, all of our insecurities. And that declaration is summed up in three words. He is risen. He is risen. That's the transcendent reality historically and personally. Today, we're reflecting on that. Micah 7:8 is a messianic prophecy that speaks of Jesus rising. It says these words, that though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Not only was that a messianic prophecy looking forward to the one who did rise, Jesus Christ, it also brings us personal hope, because when Jesus rises, we rise with him. So our first point as we begin with Jesus is a very simple one, and that is Jesus died and rose from the dead. Now, before he rose, he had to suffer. He had to die because he was the sacrificial lamb. The Roman government executed him by one of the most cruel and excruciating forms of capital punishment ever derived, and that is crucifixion. And although the Romans did not invent crucifixion, they perfected it as a form of torture and capital punishment. Now, we never forget Good Friday, their sense of agony and the sense of this brutality of what they did to our Savior. And yet he had to go through it. So many times in Scripture, Jesus said, "I only do what I see my Father doing." But this time he said, this is of my own will. Jesus gave his life for us. Jesus laid his life down out of his own desire, his own heart, his own will. And this chaos was going on, not only in this epic order, in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, this separation that was coming on that crucifixion Friday. Not only that, but also with the disciples, they were fleeing. They were scared to death. They were running away for their lives. They were holed up. They were quarantined, if you will. They were trying to get away from everything. And yet they were told, they were forewarned of what would happen. Isaiah 53, hundreds of years before this crucifixion, tells us what was going on. Isn't it amazing that God lives outside of time and he knows exactly what's going to happen, what's happening, and the meaning of things? And it's such a mystery so often for us, but for God, there are no mysteries for God. He knows exactly what he's doing. Listen to these words from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. Now we're beginning to move into what's the meaning of his death. Was it just a death of martyrdom because the Roman government did not like him? Not at all. Jesus could have easily wiped out all of the Roman government. Jesus could have easily called on angels. But it says that he took our pain, our suffering. And it says that verse 5, that he was pierced for our transgression and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace on him, by his wounds, we are the beneficiaries. We are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray and each of us has turned to our own way. Yet the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He took it. The iniquity that should have been laid on us. No, Jesus stood in the gap for us and the iniquity and the price and the punishment and the crucifixion he took and bore on our behalf. The Easter story is not like a Netflix movie you just kind of lay back and you watch and observe. Not at all. There's a personalized event. It's a personal transaction. It's a personal thing between you and Jesus, between what the Son of God accomplished and you and your household. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as sheep before its shearers is silent, he did not open his mouth. These are exactly the playing out through Isaiah's prophecy happened exactly this way when Jesus stood before his accusers and he did not open his mouth. You think about it, Jesus could have called on a myriad of angels just to eliminate everyone on the spot, but he did not do that. Why? Because he was the Lamb of God. He was the one who stood in the gap. And there is no other God like him. There's no other God in world religions that's like this, that would humble himself into obedience to the point of paying the price of that death on the cross. Isaiah goes on and he says he was assigned with a grave, with the wicked and with the rich in his death. We know that to be the fulfillment of Joseph of Arimathea. He had a rich man's tomb that was given and he dedicated it for Jesus' body on that Good Friday. And though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. In other words, Jesus was sinless and he was perfect. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him, cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, yet he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. And he will see the light of life and he will be satisfied. Redemption, reconciliation, atonement, all fulfilled in that Good Friday. Glory be to God. Jesus did it. He accomplished it. Atonement at one meant means a reconciliation of parties that were divided, brought back together. And the cross breaks down the barrier between God and man. We remember the story of the temple that was guarding anyone from going into the Holy of Holies. It was ripped and torn from the top down, ushering forth the presence of God into all of sinful humanity at that moment. And from that moment onward, God has been calling people and inviting people to come back to him. It all happened at the cross, but the story did not end at the cross. Then comes Saturday. Saturday, everyone was silent. The day after the crucifixion, the disciples were holed up. Again, they were quarantined. People were running. People were afraid. People were scared. People were just baffled by what was happening in those moments. And you know, the reality is we can't always tell what God's doing. We can't always see what He's doing. We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't even know what's going on right now in this pandemic moment when all the world is being warned and all the world is getting sick and so many things like this are happening. What is happening? And in reality, when Jesus was in that moment, where was He? He was down in the depths of the earth. He was in the upper level of paradise, or whether it was the hell itself or Hades. Jesus was doing business. Jesus was setting the captives free. Ephesians says He's taking captivity captive. It says that He was preaching to the prisoners. Oh my goodness, so much is happening. When God seems silent, the work is getting done. It's happening. And it's happening for you right now as well. And you think about all the things that we don't know what's happening. People are going to get innovations right now, vaccinations. So many things are happening in the world right now that we can't see. Ways that God is moving. He's answering our prayers. We are fighting this thing in the spirit. We don't believe COVID-19 belongs in our household or in your household. Certainly we're all a part of collective humanity, and things like this can happen to us. But we're fighting back. We're striking back. We're praying, and God is hearing. Don't be despondent like the disciples were on that Saturday. Get out of your cave and get up. And even as Jesus rose, we're going to rise with Him. 1 Corinthians 15 says that they were eyewitnesses, the disciples were. It reports that Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. And then on the third day, He rose and He appeared to Peter, to James, to the 500 eyewitnesses, and then to Paul. Peter was hiding. Peter was fleeing. Peter was lying to protect himself. Self-preservation was kicking in. It says that James had been mocking and scoffing his brother, Jesus. Paul was fighting and angry about Jesus taking, sort of stealing the show. He looked at him as an unorthodox rabbi trying to bring heresy into the camp. And they all had this kind of anti-view in a certain ways about Jesus. And nevertheless, look what happened. Paul became that great apostle. Peter, as you know, became the leader, the spoken person on the day, the outspoken person rather on the day of Pentecost. He spoke the word of the Lord, and there was that great revival, and that ushered in the new Christianity that we're a part of through the Jewish leaders. We're now a part of the root of Judaism, but now we have a new expression in preaching Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The reverberations today and the impact of millions of lives are felt everywhere. Man, they're felt all over the place. My entire household, to the glory of God, has been saved by grace. My entire family, I'm a first generation Christian, yet God found me. Why? One simple reason, because Jesus rose from the dead. In 2016, there was a movie that came out called Risen. It was a powerful movie. Sony Productions put it together. It's about a Roman leader, a Roman tribune leader, which is a step above a Roman centurion. And in that movie, Pontius Pilate commissioned this Roman leader to go find the body of Jesus because the report was out that his body wasn't there. And so he went on a search, and he was angry, and he went out there, and guess what happened? You know the story. He couldn't find the body of Jesus because it wasn't there. It wasn't in the grave, and there was no sense at all that Jesus had survived that excruciating crucifixion. Of course, He had died, but He rose from the dead. And this man, this Roman leader, then turns to God, and he too gets touched. And I was talking to an Orthodox Jewish leader, and I was talking to him. He's Orthodox, he's a historian, he's an archaeologist, he's brilliant. And he said he saw that movie. And I said, really? You saw that movie? I said, what did you think? He said, it shook me to the core. And it shook him to the core. Because, not because it was a great movie, which it was. It shook him to the core because it's truth. It's truth. Jesus is alive. He's risen. All of these historical events, everything that happened is reality. It's truth. It really did happen. And it gives us hope. As Ravi Zacharias said, outside of the cross of Jesus Christ, there is no hope in this world. The cross and the resurrection at the core of the gospel is the only hope for humanity. Wherever you go, ask God for wisdom on how to get that gospel in, even in the toughest situations of life, like we're facing right now. Secondly, this resurrection empowers you to rise. It is so empowering and so freeing. And because of this, all things do become new. Romans 8:11 says it is the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body, to you, through His Spirit who dwells in you. So Jesus is sharing everything here, except one thing we will never have to share or experience is His death on that tree, because He bore it on our behalf. Now moving forward, we're not eyewitnesses like those 500 were, including Paul, Peter, and James. And James was the most amazing, and we know about Peter, we know about Paul, but you think about James. James, the brother of Jesus, who mocked Him, who scoffed Him, who thought His brother was a lunatic. Then at the resurrection, he then gets changed, he gets born again, and James then becomes the leader of the church in Jerusalem and writes the book of James. What an amazing comeback. What an amazing resurrection he experienced. The resurrection of God is happening all over the place. I think about my own encounter with Jesus. I was 18 years old. I was a skeptic. I had never been to church. I didn't know the gospel. I mocked Christians. To me, they were weird. They weren't very smart. I didn't understand the gospel or any of that. And I'm reading scripture as the first week of my freshman year in college. And I'm reading the Bible for the first time in my life. And man, as I'm reading the Gospel of Mark, it's like Jesus Himself just walked right in that dorm room and said, I've come to save you. I've come to rescue you. I've come to redeem you. And my life has never been the same. Resurrection power picked me up, changed me, got me out of an amazing morass and crazy sin and crazy living. And because He got up, we can't stay down. We won't stay down. We're being picked up again. His Spirit quickens life to our mortal bodies, our spirit man, our soul man, our mind, our will, our attitude, our emotions, our physical body. His Spirit brings life to us, quickens us by the Holy Spirit. And this is the pattern of Scripture, that God gets people up. Even when we're down, we get up. Micah said, though I was down, I got up. Paul said, though I was down, I got up. It says about the prodigal son, in his first move to get back to his father, it said these words, it's easy to miss. It says, so he got up. How did he get up? The Spirit quickened him. He got out of his mess and he went back to his father. And I think right now some of you are being quickened by the Holy Spirit right there in your apartment, right in your home, right in your wherever you are. The Holy Spirit is picking you up. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is coming after you to bring the life of God. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you weird. The Holy Spirit deals with the weirdness that's already in our lives. He changes everything. He changes your thought process. He changes everything about us. And He makes us that which God intended us to be all along. Everyone I know right now is dealing with defeats. Everyone. And I just have to remember in my own life, the losses that my wife and I are facing and the defeats and the hardships and all that. This is only temporary. We're going to get up. We're going to press through this. Our businesses are going to get up. Our lives are going to get up. Our heads are going to get up. Our finances are going to get back up. Our joy, everything else. Our defeats will be turned around because Jesus is alive. And He's working in your home right now. It'll all be turned around. This is just a little chapter in our book. There's a guy named Vinko Bogataj. Vinko, he was a Slovenian skier at the ski jump. And he's known because he had a famous defeat, a famous setback. And he was wiped out as he was on this ski ramp. He wiped out even before he hit the lift, the jump. And his fall was a notorious fall. It was horrendous. As he took flips and his body just became just flipping all around, went actually over into the spectators. And that wipe off that ramp. And ABC Sports, they began using this clip to accompany the phrase, the agony of defeat, the agony of defeat, just over and over. And his crash became a viral video that made an indelible mark on the sports world long before social media. His ski jumping crash was part of the opening montage of ABC's Wide World of Sports. And it was on there for decades. These two words, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. I can still hear the music back then. And if you're my age, you can hear it too. And that man, Victor Bogotage, he became famous in America for one thing, for being the agony of defeat. What a terrible thing to be known. That's for two decades at least, that's what he was known for. 20 years later, after that moment, ABC Wide World of Sports held a banquet. And all the great ones were there, Peggy Fleming, Muhammad Ali, and others. And then, yet there was only one standing ovation in that banquet, and that was for Victor Bogotage. Victor was given the standing ovation, a great round of applause because of who he was and what he survived and how he came back and how he lived his life since that crash and all of that. And Muhammad Ali breaks through the crowd. He goes up to Victor and he says, can I have your autograph? That's amazing. He was the one who was celebrated at that moment, especially when the champ came out. And you know, scripture is always pointing to those moments where we go through something and we rise out of something. There's a man that Lynette and I've been talking about late. We've been reading about him, and he's a 101-year-old Holocaust survivor. And if that wasn't bad enough to survive the Holocaust, oh my, and then he went into survive the Spanish flu. He survived that as well when he should have died from that. And guess what? At 101 years old, he survived COVID-19. It's amazing, the resilience right there. And that encourages me, because all of these stories encourage me. And you know who encourages me the most is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote on the resurrection more than anyone. He spoke about it. He recorded it in Scripture. Virtually all of his epistles talk about the resurrection and what that resurrection life does for us. That is the distinct advantage that we have. We're not just following a religion. We're empowered and infused and filled with the life of the Spirit because Jesus has risen. In 2 Corinthians 4:8, it says, we're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. That's Paul's story, always coming back. That's my story, always coming back. And that's your story, your always coming back to the glory of God. So what is our response to this? What is our response? My favorite passage on this is Hosea 6, 1 through 3. It says, come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, and some translations say, torn us to pieces, that he may heal us. He has struck us down, that he will bind us up. And after 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord, says the prophet Hosea. You know, returning to the Lord is such a personal decision. It's so intimate, returning to the Lord. Return means to either turn around or go back to where you came from God. We've walked away from God by our own personal decisions. And, you know, there comes that time we have to be honest within ourselves. I've strayed from God. I've neglected God. I've stiff-armed God. I've even dissed God. I've disregarded God. I've disrespected God. And at times, I've distanced God. You know what's, I mean, social distancing is one thing, but distancing ourselves from God is horrible. That's what we've all done. And all of us in collective humanity have distanced ourselves from our loving and wonderful God. And it's led to so many ways that we've strayed in our own devices, our own thinking, our own decisions, even catchphrases that are out there that I hear people use all the time. It just shows they don't get it. Or this one, God helps those who help themselves, as if our own bootstrapping will make up for what we've lost from the presence of God. Our own bootstrapping will never get us back to God. It might get you a better job. It might even help your attitude, but it'll never get you back with God. What about this one? God will never give me more than I can handle. That's just not true. It's just, are you serious? You're what? God who told Peter to walk on water, that was more than he could handle. God who told Moses to walk through the Red Sea. In other words, God gives us things in our lives. God who told David to slay this giant, and all of these things are beyond our abilities. It's not our self abilities, but it's the Spirit of God who quickens us. Here's another one, like what God tells young men to be pure and holy, live a pure and holy life. That's impossible. But through the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of God, our risen Savior, that's possible. And I want to call young men right now to quit clicking the wrong buttons and start clicking the right buttons, the ones that bring life to you and purity to you and the power of God into your life, because Jesus rose from the dead, not so you could just lay around, but man, get up and begin to be like that prodigal son. Go back to your father. Go back where you came from. Here's the worst one of all, is this catchphrase in this generation, follow your heart. I don't even want to go there. Man, my heart, if I followed my heart, I'd be a mess. Real life comes from being in a right relationship with God. That's what it's all about, just being walking with God. God's a friend to us. He's also king to us. He's a lover to us, but he's also our Lord to us. He's all of these things. The other night, I was on a bike ride with my twin girls, and it was like the day after they both broke free from training wheels. So it was a big moment. They're riding on their own. They're cycling on their own. They're doing it. And one of my daughters began to sort of make a breakaway. She started riding uncomfortably past us. I was on my feet. I was helping my other daughter. And this one daughter kept going. And my voice was like, come back. Wait. Wait on us. Don't go there. I see where you're going. Don't go there. Don't do it. Then her sister started chiming in. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. All the warnings and all that, but she kept on going. Well, it did not end up very well for her. And it never ends up well for us either. What do? We wait on God. We come back home. We turn to the Lord. And the good news is this, getting back is always easy. It's not complicated. It's not terrifying. Hosea says he'll raise us up. It says that our agony of defeat becomes our thrill of victory. And that's what God flips around. That's what he does in our life. What does this mean? That the part about God reviving us and restoring us, it means that we're going to be able to live and enjoy the life that God designed for us to have. Start operating the way God says that we can operate, all by his grace. And it shows us too that his resurrection leads to our resurrection. So it closes out by saying this, let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. You know, this season, we've called this is the season, our theme is all things are new. And this is the foundation of it. Jesus historically rose from the dead. He shares his resurrection power and life with us. And then we too get revived and get raised up on that third day. We have a comeback. So in this season, as difficult and challenging as it is to stay positive, we've chosen resurrection life. We look at our Savior as our example, our model, and also the one who gives us his life and quickens, brings life to our mortal bodies, our minds, our spirits, our decisions. Right now, it's like a Saturday moment. We don't see what's happening. We're past the Friday moment. We're in the Saturday moment. We can't see it all. But the good news is Sunday comes, resurrection comes, new life comes, new dreams come. And all things become new in our lives. And I'm going to pray right here. Father, I thank you that you're with us. You don't ever let us go. And we thank you for your resurrection power. Because of that, I'm asking you now to fill us with your resurrection life. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill everyone who's watching now, that they would have their moment of connecting with you and that you transcend their mind, their thoughts, their rebelling, their running, whatever's going on, their fears, their discouragements, their defeats. And you take our agony of defeats and you turn them into a thrill of victory. And the foundation, Jesus, is come into my life today. Pray this prayer with me. Come into my life, Lord. I turn from my ways. I come back home to you. And I give you my life. And I ask you to make all things new for me. In Jesus' name. And if you prayed that prayer, it's happening for you now. You can text the number that we've given you and let us know what God is doing in your life. And by His grace, we're not only going to just survive in this moment, but somehow, some way, we're going to thrive to the glory of His name, all because He is risen.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.